Flemish. Want al zu heft God der weld bear mind, dat his zin Ingenborgen zun heft gegeven op dat al we in hem geluft nit verga mar het. Norsk. For sa her good elesk verden atan gav sin son, den in barn, forat ever den som tror pa am, ikke skal for tapes men ha in vig live. Spanish. Porque de tal manera amor Dios al mundo, que Dio a su hijo unigento, para que todo aquel que cree en él no perezca, mas tenga vida eterna. English. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I apologize to any native speakers in our audience, any of our Flemish and Norsk or Norwegians. My forte is not as a linguist, more as a butcher of languages, probably. Well, if you were a native speaker, what I just spoke was probably not an intelligible sound. It was not in my particular dialect. But it was to illustrate an example that not everything that proceeds from our mouths is necessarily pleasant. You know, not everything that proceeds from the mouths edifies. But maybe the question is, shouldn't it? Especially anything we proceeds from our mouths to our brethren. Well, what I said was probably more of a stumbling block to those, you know, as it was deciphered, even though I was trying, even though I was quoting scripture, what I said didn't help anybody that might have spoken Norsk or Flemish, Spanish, maybe even English, maybe that too. The words I would have said served no purpose, in essence, as it went out to the people that would speak those languages, because I could not make a pleasant and understandable sound. So why this stumbling block? Why this language stumbling block? Why are there so many differences, thousands of different dialects, different languages throughout this world? Well, because at one time, the whole earth had one language, one speech. Genesis 11:1. You know, we're familiar with the story of the Tower of Babel, with the confusion of languages. And it was because of a disobedient people. It was because of a rebellion that mankind had, that mankind wanted to glorify himself and not God. And what God heard coming up before him, the sounds that emanated from mankind at that time, were not pleasant. Were nothing that God wanted to hear, to the point that he confused the languages so that man, because of mankind's focus on himself. Now God, because he is God, understood everything I was attempting to say, hopefully. More so, not because of my bad version of those languages, but because he reads our hearts. He knows what we're going to ask before we ask it. It's one point of why he would understand what I said. And the second point I'm going to address shortly. Well, what does God hear when mankind speaks to him today? Well, that would assume that mankind actually prayed to God the Father. As we know, most of mankind doesn't. It would also assume that God actually heard their prayers, which we know, for most of mankind, God does not. We know this from Proverbs 15:29 that I will quote, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." So, assuming that God does actually hear us, that we are part of the righteous that are spoken of in that scripture, we are left in a very, very small pool of communicators. Well, what then does God hear daily? You know, David, who was righteous, who was in that small pool of human beings who could communicate with God, said in Psalms 142:2, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense." If you will, turn to me to Revelation 5. Revelation 5 and verse 8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. You know, are our prayers, like David's and like those mentioned in Revelation, are they a sweet-smelling incense? You know, it takes more than simply calling upon the name of God to have our prayers heard, as we know. God hears the prayers of the righteous, but not the wicked. But there are requirements to being heard. There are requirements to being, or to be a saint. There are requirements to being righteous. You just can't profit or tell yourself or say that you are, or state that you are righteous and expect God to hear you. Well, in the times of the priesthood, there were very exacting requirements for that incense, the physical incense that was used in the temple. If you will, turn with me back to Exodus 30. Exodus 30, and I'll start in verse 34. And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stacte and anacha and galbanum and pure frankincense. With these sweet spices there should be equal amounts of each. You shall make of these an incense, a compound, according to the art of the perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. And you shall beat some of it very fine, and put some of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting, where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. For as for the incense which you shall not make any for yourselves, according to its composition. It shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it, to smell it, he shall be cut off from his people. You know, during the times of when the temple was active, this was a very serious procedure. The incense that was used to burn before God was very exactingly put together. It wasn't used for anything secular. Brethren, the same is true for you and I. There are very specific requirements to being heard by God, or to be heard by God. You know, the ability to call upon God is a blessing given to very, very few mankind. Because very few of mankind has been willing to fulfill the requirements in order to be heard. You know, we do though, brethren. Our prayers can be heard by God the Father. And we must not forsake that opportunity, and maybe even forsake that duty that we have to contact with God and to use that ability for us to be heard. You know, the world, as we know, offers strange incense before God. They want to be heard on their terms, not on God's terms. And we read about this earlier in Exodus 30. Exodus 30 and verse 8. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, nor shall you pour out a drink offering on it. And Aaron shall make atonement upon its horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. You know, the world depends on this duty that we have. The world depends on us being heard, on God's saints being heard in these end times. We read in Mark 13:20, and unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would have been saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. You know, brethren, there will be saints left on this earth when Christ returns. The question is, will you and I be part of those? You know, this Bible is big. It's packed with all the requirements of fulfilling this blessing we have, this opportunity we have to be heard by God. Too much for this message, obviously. Too much for even one longer message. But I can leave you with one specific ingredient, so to speak. One portion of the incense of our prayers that will go before God's throne, and it's this: sacrifice. Sacrifice for one another. And our prayers, us praying for one another, is an easy way to fulfill that sacrifice. I'll leave you with one final scripture. If you will, turn with me to Ephesians 5. We can read about a true and the greatest of sacrifices. Ephesians 5 and in verse 1. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Brethren, we must strive to have our prayers and our sacrifice be that sweet smelling aroma.